welcome to Giants Training Camp Live, the first edition of the 2015 season. I'm Paul Dottino, along with former Giants putter Jeff Fiegels. We are at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, and the Giants have gotten training camp underway. Their first practice is in the books, Jeff. And what did the first practice of camp mean to you during all those years you played?
Well, I had a lot of them, but I tell you, it's very exciting whether you're a veteran or you're a rookie. I mean, each of them are a little bit different. The veterans kind of understand what training camp's all about. The young guys coming in here that were in the spring practices is now the start of the regular season or preseason, as you say. But it's exciting because they kind of get used to the routine. Guys come out on the field. They understand a little bit how everything's going to go, and then they start their drills. They're looking at the position battles, kind of knowing. Now the young guys that are coming out of college, they're in professional football now, and they need to understand that this is real now. And this is now you're working, and you're going to get paid to do this, and hopefully you get paid and make the team.
Jeff, you know all too well, a staple of every summertime training camp from Tom Coughlin is to begin the whole thing with his conditioning drills. He had that yesterday before the guys took the field today.
Their body weights were good, and this test, which was simply to make sure that they had been doing what they were supposed to be doing, it looked fine.
Now, I didn't run any of the conditioning drills myself. Coach doesn't want to see me between the sidelines, trust me. But, Jeff, they've changed a lot over the years.
Yeah, I tell you, the conditioning tests were, you know, you had to work in the off season. You go away for 5 weeks as soon as the off-season conditioning program is over. What the team wants to see is how good a shape you kept yourself in coming in. So they do the conditioning test. The Giants did a little bit more scientific this year. They weren't so concentrated on endurance. It was more of recovery. So they had the heart rate monitors on them. They ran 8 to 10 70-yard dashes, and then they had 2 minutes to recover. And they wanted to see where their heart rate would come down to. And this is the new science of football. And if you're not able to take your heart rate down to a certain level quickly, that shows you weren't doing much in the offseason or that five-week period that you were out of here.
All right, now a lot of hearts were really pumping hard today because of the excitement of actually starting things. From the coach's perspective, what does he want to get out of the first practice?
Well, I think the coach wants to, first of all, there was one guy missing today, but other than that, all the guys are on the field. That's a good start. What he wants to get out of practice today is to see the guys that are listening in the meeting rooms, going out there, doing what they have been preparing practice, and in the meetings before, they're going over install. They want the guys to come out here and make sure that the mental reps are there if you're not practicing and you're not getting reps. But they most importantly is cut down on the mistakes and get through practice. It wasn't very hot today, so that was a good thing for them.
Yeah, so nice breeze. In fact, right now as we're doing the show, what are some of the things you saw today that you liked and maybe didn't like?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did see today, and that was the fact that Victor Cruz was out there on the practice field running around like we all like to see him, and Odell Beckham. Both those guys were on the field running and doing great. I mean, every time those guys got the ball out there today. But I did see some of the younger guys competing out there. Jeremy Davis made a couple great plays today from UConn. And most importantly, just all the guys on the same page.
Getting a look right here at Jeremy Davis making the grab of the day, leaping clutch along the sidelines. That's the 6th-round draft pick out of UConn, known for his good hands. And here, also Dwayne Harris, the former Dallas Cowboy, making a snare.
Well, those guys, you know, Dwayne Harris, he's gonna be one of those guys that comes in here and instantly makes an impact on special teams because the Giants have not had a great returner since I don't even know how long. But the fact that he's a playmaker and get the ball in his hands, and that's specifically what he's going to be here to do this year. And not only that, to be able to complement some of that receiving core, too.
All right, let's stick with the receivers for just a second. We know Victor Cruz is coming off of that tendon tear last season. He's got to be limited in terms of how many snaps he takes here at the training facility, but Prince Amukamara says he's looking real good.
And I do understand they have to take it slow, and the training staff understands that as well. I mean, even if I went to them and was like, I feel 100%, I want to go out there and play and do every series and every, they understand that they want me to take it slow, and they want me to, you know, again, I'm still not, you know, there's a difference between being in shape and then like football shape, and so I still have to kind of develop that a little bit. So that takes a little bit of time, a week or two. So we'll see how it goes. But I definitely understand that I want to take it one game at a time, one step at a time, one practice at a time.
Yeah, we were just out there for, in Arizona at a performance spot, and he came out for a day and ran a couple of routes with who's out there. I think it was just Cap and Tyrod Taylor, and he I told him he looked faster than before. It could be because I haven't seen him on the field in a while, but he looked great.
So, Jeff, what specifically did you see out of Cruz and Beckham today? Beckham, of course, nursing those hamstrings, those everlasting hamstrings. Both players a tad limited in terms of the number of snaps they were taking.
Well, I think that, you know, what I liked about Victor today is the fact that he was running his routes very crisp and making those plants. I think that's the most important thing. A lot of people want to understand, how he's coming out of that injury, to be able to plant on that knee, and I certainly saw him doing that today. The other thing I saw from Victor today, he got on the ground. And got roughed up a little bit. He got right back up and certainly went back to the huddle and everything was good. And Beckham, I'll tell you what, you just like to watch him. It didn't look like he's missed a beat.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, those are two really good answers to a couple of questions at wide receiver. But when we come back after this timeout, we will talk about the biggest mysteries of Giants training camp as they open things up here at the facility.
Eight NFL championships, including four Super Bowls, each one the result of preparation, dedication, and a lot of sweat. Now their fans can share that commitment at the brand new fitness center located on Route 17 in Maywood. Hackensack UMC Fitness and Wellness, powered by the Giants, features an expansive exercise floor, turf field, and saltwater filtered pools to help fans of all ages and fitness levels. Check out our game plan at giants.com/fitness.
Giants training camp opens Friday, July 31st at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center.
Let's go. Let's crank it up.
Nine practices will be free and open to the public for your chance to check out your favorite team prepare for the 2015 season. Enjoy family-friendly activities at the Big Blue Kids Zone, special meet-and-greet opportunities with Giants legends, autographs from current players, and more. For all the details, visit Giants.com.
And welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live. Paul Dottino and Jeff Fiegels with you. The Giants have completed their first practice of their summer training camp. And perhaps the biggest question, Jeff, that a lot of people have been asking about that offensive line, who are the Giants going to start there? Well, one thing we do know is that Justin Pugh, who had been playing right tackle the last couple of seasons, has now been converted to left guard. And the Giants really want to keep him there. Well, he's been studying hard. And one of the things that he's been doing is looking at some tapes of old Giants to get things right.
We've been watching 08 film when the Giants O-line was probably the best in the business. And they were just a bunch of tough guys after plays, a little extra stuff. And it was, between the whistles, they were knocking guys down, and no one really wanted to play against them. I was just watching Ravens film when they played them in 08, beat them like 30-10. And watching Snee, Soybert, all those guys in their guard, I definitely got an appreciation. I want to try to, emulate the way they play the game.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys were a great example, those championship Giants offensive lines, of what you need to do to scrap things down the field.
Well, I'm hoping that Justin Pugh is telling some of his teammates he's not the only one looking at those types of tapes or video, because those guys were scrappers. Those are the kind of guys you need on your offensive line. And when you talk about the five guys that are going to be starting this season for the Giants, you're hoping that all of those guys are a lot like the Sean O'Hara's and the Richie Soybert and the Chris Snee's of the world, because they're outstanding players. And you're just hoping that those five guys can step up and play like that, and those guys will be fine.
All right, so we're getting a look right there at the five starters as of the moment. Now, we know the Dallas Cowboys in week one still a ways away, and a lot of things could change between now and then. One of the things Coach Coughlin told us today, though, is that they've really got to accelerate the learning curve of Flowers, the Giants' first-round pick, who was taking additional snaps today. Beyond the first team, Jeff, he was working with the second team too.
Well, anytime you're a first-round draft pick, you're kind of going to be expected to come in and play. And I think that with the loss of Will Beatty on his injury, that he's going to have to step up. And a guy like him, I believe he can. He's from the University of Miami, which they produce high scholar athletes there like myself. But the fact is that I think that he can come out and get the job done. I think he works hard. He's a smart guy. He's got great skills. And being a number one draft pick, you would expect that he would play that way.
All right, let's flip the coin and go over to the Giants defense for just a second. But again, we're going back to the future. Steve Spagnuolo returns as the Giants defensive coordinator. Now, when he was here the first time, the Giants won a Super Bowl and then went to a playoff appearance. He had Antonio Pierce as the man in the middle. Now he's got John Beeson in there. And he's got to be the guy who calls some of the shots with a lot of help from his teammates.
the system is makes us more vocal. Spax puts a lot of pressure on us in terms of making a lot of adjustments and checks at the line. You know what? It doesn't matter, really. I think when it comes down to it, you just want to do it the right way. And, you know, if that means getting on the guy, you get on him. And if that means loving the guy and praising a young guy for doing it the right way, you do it. And hopefully, you know, we all come together. We got to get on the same page right away, you know, doing the same thing at the same time and playing great defense.
And so John Beeson has to play the role of Antonio Pierce in the Spags defense. You played on that championship team with Pierce calling those shots. How easy or how hard is it to become AP?
It's hard. It's hard. And I think that, you know, one common denominator that both these players have is they're smart and they understand the game of football. And I think that they do a lot of work in the weight room and in the classroom. And I think that what Spagnuolo's defense does is it demands a lot of guys knowing their responsibilities. And John Beeson has to know everybody. But the fact is that the guys behind him have to know what he's doing and the guys in front of him have to know what he's doing. But most importantly, John Beeson is your guy that's going to get everybody lined up and get ready to play himself.
All right, now, defensively speaking, the Giants have one big mystery here as they open training camp. Jason Pierre-Paul, their outstanding defensive end, because of a hand accident, is not here. Now, the Giants hierarchy, from top to bottom, they'd love him to be here. But at the moment, they can only play with what they have. John Marin, Company, explained.
I think we have to plan on moving ahead without him at this point. I mean, until we see him and make some sort of determination as to what type of condition he's in, I don't see how we can count on him, certainly not for the opening of the season.
Well, I hope he chooses to return. You know, hey, we're all concerned about the young man first and foremost, but it's difficult to, you know, extend this concern when we, you know, we feel like he should be here. But as far as souring, that's not going to sour anything. I'm concerned about him as a young man and anxious to know exactly what he's dealing with. And then we would know what we're dealing with.
It's tough. Like it just hit me. Like we're going into camp without like our cornerstone guy. And I try to think it's almost a similar like if we're going into camp without like Eli and stuff like that. So it's definitely tough. And especially when you look at it like that. But not much you can do besides just support him and just wait for his homecoming.
Well, now, you know, everybody wants JPP to be here, to be on the field as soon as he possibly can, but at the same time, the Giants do have to proceed without him. So, Jeff, let's talk about the guys who are here and how the Giants are going to fulfill that role.
Well, I think it's important to understand that there's going to be two guys on opening day that are going to, you know, they're going to play this position. And when you talk about Robert Ayers, what he did last year and then getting hurt, you can see a little bit of what you can get out of the production of him. You got a young DeMontre Moore who is still very, very young and learning the position. He certainly is going to be able to add to the mix. Kerry Wynn, who took every opportunity that was given to him last year at the end of the season to be able to come out and play like he did, look for him to get some time and maybe even be in that starting role. And then George Selvey, the free agent pickup, comes in here and is certainly going to compete for that position too.
Yeah, getting a look at some of the highlights from this past season. And Kerry Wynn was a young player who really showed big time in December. His continued development would be very critical. And, of course, there's Dizzy Zua from UCLA, another guy the Giants would like to see get some reps in that defensive line rotation. Hey, what about the safety spot, Jeff? That's another question mark coming in. And they traded up, the Giants did, at the beginning of the second round to get Landon Collins out of Alabama. And that's big shoes for him to come right in and fill right away as a starter.
It is, and I think that because of the conference that he played in and the school that he came from, I think he has an advantage there over the other guys that are competing for that position. So, you know, the Giants, they moved up to grab him in the second round, so he comes with a lot of a nice pedigree. He's going to have to learn quick, and we talked about Eric Flowers, how he needs to learn quick. Well, this young man's going to need to learn quick in that backfield too. The fact is that there's going to be a nice competition at that position going into this training camp. And for all the Giants fans and us, that's one position battle to look at.
I tell you what, there are two safeties who have to start, though, which means if Collins is one, you still got to figure out who the other guy is. Now, Nat Burhey was troubled by a calf problem during the spring, and right now he's running a little bit behind on the depth chart, which means Cooper Taylor has a shot to try to win a job.
He does. And, you know, both these guys are coming off injury, so there's a lot of still that has to be proven in their minds and in the organization's mind that who these guys are going to play. I thought Nat Burhe had a nice training camp last year and played well until he certainly got hurt. But the fact that Nat Burhe was being able to take all these reps or not take all the reps in the OTAs in the spring, and Cooper Taylor was, that gives him a little bit of an advantage.
Jeff, it has been a fun first day of Giants training camp. We have certainly enjoyed it. Hey, great for joining us today. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad to be here, as always.
All right, folks, that'll do it for today's edition. Now, don't forget, beginning on Monday at 6 p.m. New York time, live on MSG, we'll have a half-hour show each and every weekday throughout training camp, Giants Training Camp Live. And, of course, coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, tune in to Giants.com for Big Blue Kickoff Live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we bring you 1 hour of updates from Giants Camp. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time on Giants Training Camp Live.